Well, good evening to you, brethren and friends. So good to be with you tonight, and we appreciate the presence of each and every one, especially those who are visiting with us this evening. We view you as honored guests, and you're such an encouragement to us, and we hope we can be an encouragement to you as well. Please take out your Bibles, please take out the Word of God, and be opening to the book of Acts in chapter 24, that you may better follow along in our study tonight. Acts chapter 24. Certainly, if you have any questions from what is taught tonight or any of the previous lessons or the remainder of this gospel meeting, please let me know. I'd be happy to discuss that with you from the Word of God. If you'd be interested in a Bible study, please let Steve or myself or one of the men here know, and we'll be happy to make arrangements to have a home Bible study with you. I'd like to focus our hearts and minds tonight upon the subject of the effects of entertainment. We are a people, without question, that are connected to our technology, whether it be television and movies, whether it be getting on the internet and browsing our favorite websites, whether it be Twitter and blogs, whether it be social media such as Facebook, whether we're using our Kindle or Nook, whether we're on Netflix, whether it's the Nintendo Wii or the Xbox, whether it's our iPhone, iPad, or smartphone, we again are people connected to our technology. Just as the family picture there is really a picture of the modern family. It doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter where you drive, people are on their phones, on their gadgets, go to the airport, and what is everybody doing? We see it everywhere. We are everywhere we go. We're always being entertained. And tonight I would like for us to consider the effects of entertainment on our time, on our mind, and thirdly, on our influence. But first of all, on our time. In Acts chapter 24 and in verse 25, the New American Standard Bible reads as follows, "But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, 'Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you.'" Ladies and gentlemen, isn't that the common cry of our generation? I don't have time. Well, we all get the same time. Each of us gets the exact number of days and hours and minutes of every week, and yet we constantly say, "I don't have time." Well, here are some television statistics. This is a little dated, but 2012. The average time spent watching television per day in the United States is 5 hours. The average person will have spent watching TV 9 years. That's 78,840 hours of viewing television. Have you heard of the 23rd channel? "The TV is my shepherd. My spiritual growth shall want. It makes me to sit down and do nothing for his name's sake. It requires all my spare time. It keeps me from doing my Christian duty. It produces so many good shows that I must see. It restores my knowledge of the world. It keeps me from the study of God's Word. It leads me in the path of failing to attend worship and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Yea, though I live to be 100 years old, I shall view my TV as long as it works. It seems to be my closest companion. Its sounds and pictures, they comfort me. It provides entertainment for me and keeps me from doing important things with my family. It fills my head with ideas which differ from God's will. Surely, because of all the wasted hours, there will be a lack of reward at the gates of heaven. I shall not dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, or channel 23, which is yours? But again, we say, I don't have time. I don't have time. Now, that doesn't include internet usage. That's just television, you see. At least with television, there's a natural stopping point, right? But that's not true of the internet. You get on there and say, well, I'm just going to check my email. Oh, I wonder what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. Well, look who posted on Facebook, and that can take a while because a lot of people post on Facebook. And then we might go to a news site or a sports site, whatever our interests are. And before you know it, 1, 2, 3 hours have passed. And yet we say, I just don't have time, you know. I just don't have time. I can think of plenty of nights when I've gone to bed where I said to myself, well, I didn't have time to do my Bible reading today. Well, I didn't have time to make those phone calls I intended to. Well, I didn't have time to make those visits to the nursing home to encourage some saints. I can't think of one time when I've gone to bed and said, I just didn't have time to watch any shows today. I just didn't have time to check my email today. We must admit, brethren, the effects of entertainment on our time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, we read, see then that you walk circumspectly, or carefully, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Some versions render it, making the most of your time. The ESV says, making the best use of the time. And that's the idea here, making the best use of our time. Paul speaks to the value of our time, and we must rescue our time and use it for good pursuits. Use it to the glory of God. You know, I realize we all need leisure time, right? We all need downtime. But our problem is that our leisure time becomes lazy time, and lazy time becomes too much of the time. Would you consider 5 hours a day of TV as redeeming the time? Does that fit the passage here? Would you say 9 years of your life watching TV is making the most of your time? Of course not. In Colossians chapter 4, we read a similar passage here in Colossians 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. The NIV says, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. Shouldn't we be a people who are watching and waiting for the Lord? Isn't that where we should be focused at? Isn't that what we should be watching for? Is our Lord's return, to be sober and alert towards that? In Matthew chapter 24... Matthew 24, let's read together verses 42 through 44, please. Watch therefore, Jesus says, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So we're told to be watching. Right? We're told in Scripture to watch for certain things. Here, we're to be watching for who? We're to be watching and waiting and ready and prepared for the coming of the Lord. You've got to be ready always. Coming an hour you do not expect. Should we be watching for out for lost souls who are in need of the Savior? Matthew chapter 9, as we had read Sunday morning in connection with our Bible class, as we talked about personal evangelism, and Jesus had said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And again, isn't that what we should be engaged in with our time? And we have some free time to watching out for lost souls who are in need of a Savior. And again, a common objection as to why we're not being evangelistic is I just don't have time, really. The schedule's full. It's packed. Don't have time for that. Well, perhaps instead of watching one thing, we could be watching out for those who are lost all around us. When a preacher moved to the Washington, D.C. area many years ago, he understood it to be a difficult field to convert the lost. And many of his friends tried to talk him out of moving there, but he went anyway. The first year he baptized between 12 and 15 people. The second year he had similar results. And everyone wanted to know, of course, what was his secret. How was he doing that? How is it that you're converting people in a place that has been so difficult in times past? And he said, "Well, I tell you, it's very easy. I just conditioned myself to feel guilty sitting at home at night watching television." So that means he was what? Out making contacts and setting up Bible studies in the community instead of just sitting there in his lazy boy. And I'll tell you what scares me to death. I feel like sometimes that I've conditioned myself not to feel guilty sitting at home at night watching television, surfing the internet. Can we be honest and acknowledge that our entertainment affects our time, brethren? Time with our family. Time with our family, right? Time with God's Word. We're to be meditating in it day and night. And maybe it's the television and the internet that we're meditating in day and night. And it takes away from time that could be devoted and should be devoted to more prayer, as we're to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And the needs of others that we need to go visit and see about and do something about. James chapter 1 and verse 27. And it takes away from, as we already touched upon, time to convert the lost, preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Secondly, consider the effects of entertainment on our mind. Entertainment has an effect on our minds because how we think is going to determine how we live. As we read in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart," speaking of a man, "so is he." Right? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Romans 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of" what? "Of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Consider this with me for a moment. You sow a thought, and you reap a word. You sow a word and you reap an action. You sow an action and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny. But where does it all start? All starts right here in the mind. Remember, Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 7, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Don't you see that if a 30-second commercial can sell us on some product, boy, we got to have that. That a 30-minute sitcom that we continue to watch can sell us on a lifestyle, or at least desensitize us to something that used to be very offensive to us and that we would not tolerate. I mean, you look at our culture and words and phrases that are used. and popular among people are things that we most oftentimes first heard on television. They have an influence on us. They start in our mind and they become a part of our vocabulary and they become a part of our character, you see. I want to read to you a few excerpts from the motion picture code that was used in making television and movies in our country from the years 1930 to 1966. Okay? Now, I know there's a number of our audience, we weren't even around then. But there's a few of you, I won't name you. You were. Okay? Okay, Mom, you were. I won't name the rest. But again, I'm going to be reading to you from the motion picture code used in making televisions and movies in this country between the years 1930 and 1966. The sanctity of the institution of marriage and the home shall be upheld. Pictures shall not infer that low forms of the sex relationship are the accepted or common thing. Adultery, sometimes necessary plot material, must not be explicitly treated or justified or presented attractively. Sex perversion or any inference to it is forbidden. Obscenity in word, gesture, reference, song, joke, or by suggestion, even when likely to be understood only by part of the audience, is forbidden. Dances suggesting or representing sexual actions or indecent passions are forbidden. Dances which emphasize indecent movements are to be regarded as obscene. The technique of murder must be presented in a way that will not inspire imitation. Brutal killings are not to be presented in detail. The use of firearms should be restricted to the essentials. Methods of crime should not be explicitly presented. The basic dignity and value of human life shall be respected and upheld. Pointed profanity, this includes the words God, Lord, Jesus, Christ, unless used reverently, or every other profane or vulgar expression, however used, is forbidden. No picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Hence, the sympathy of the audience should never be thrown to the side of crime, wrongdoing, evil, or sin. Correct entertainment raises the whole standard of a nation. Wrong entertainment lowers the whole living conditions and moral ideals of a race. If motion pictures present stories that will affect lives for the better, they can become the most powerful force for the improvement of mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, pictures in our country used to supposedly conform to those standards, or at least they were supposed to. And we say, my, how times have changed. We don't even have commercials that are held to these standards anymore. And we think about shows that we watch as a family. And we think about when we grew up, our parents would never have let us watch those shows. And now all of a sudden, they're not all that bad. And so it's not just the standards that have changed, but our own standards have changed as to what is acceptable and what is unacceptable entertainment. Here's some good passages to keep in mind when we turn on our television as a family or get on the internet. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Psalm 101, verse 3. And Psalm 119, and verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Wouldn't you say much of what's on television is worthless? You say that about the internet too, right? Colossians chapter 3. The New King James Version, we read in verses 1 through 3, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Let me ask you something. Is it possible to have your mind set on things above when your television is set on things below? Can we do that? Oh, I forgot. It doesn't affect us, right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Let me ask you, if you were to take out a sheet of paper and just list all those words from verse 8, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, would you be able on the other side of that piece of paper to plug in your favorite television show next to those words? You know, that'd be a good test, wouldn't it? Or movie, or whatever it may be. Tell me, which one is lovely? Which one is praiseworthy? Dancing with the Stars, is that it? I mean, some brethren obviously watch that. They tell me so on Facebook. Okay. It's amazing the things that brethren tell on themselves about, but obviously they're not ashamed. There's no blushing going on. This is me, and this is how I dress, and this is how I talk, and this is what I watch. Here it is. They do well to get to Philippians 4:8 and think about what Paul's saying here. All of us would do well and make application. But our entertainment, it affects our minds. Let's not kid ourselves. And whoever came up with the idea that it's okay to watch what we want as long as we send the children out first? As long as we send them upstairs to their room, then we can watch whatever we want to watch. Often TV shows or movies may say that the following is not suitable for children. Well, is it suitable for Christians? Is it suitable for those who are to be holy as God is holy and holy in all of our conduct? 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. Is that going to help us set our mind on things above and to meditate on things where Christ is? Someone might say, well, I understand what you're saying. I get where you're coming from. But it's funny. Do you think the Lord's laughing? When homosexuality is displayed as something funny on so many of the programs today, is that still not a sin that nailed Jesus to the cross? When children are disrespectful to their parents, is that something that's funny? And that's what we want our young people watching and for them to be influenced by that? When marriage is portrayed as something that is, well, inconvenient instead of holy and undefiled, is that funny to us? When the husband, and this happens a lot in shows, when the husband or father is so often portrayed as a clueless, incompetent fool, is that funny? You see, it does affect us. And I want you to know that entertainment affects our minds when we come to worship. If you tuned out, tune back in, let me say that again. I want you to know that entertainment affects our minds when we come to, here we are tonight, to worship. Because all of a sudden we think because we're entertained all day long that the worship service needs to focus more on the package and presentation than the content. All of a sudden, if it's not done in a style that is compatible to our desires, then it becomes stale and it becomes boring. And I can't wait to get out of here sort of thing. Instead of asking, what do I put into it? We focus all of our attention on, what do I get out of it? But entertainment affects our worship. Jesus says, God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him. How? In spirit, that's the right attitude, and in truth. That's according to God's Word, John 4:24. The previous verse speaks about true worshipers. We better be among the true worshipers. Everyone else then is a false worshiper. When we come to worship, we're to do so with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12:28. But entertainment affects our worship. Our children become accustomed to being entertained. And if we're not very careful with our parenting, moms and dads, they expect it when we assemble for worship. They do. So we watch it. We bring games and we bring toys to keep them what? Entertained. Don't we? Some do. I've seen some basically bring the toy box with them to worship. Dump it out and the kids are there on the floor to worship services. And with the common use today of smartphones and iPhones and iPads, and the kids have them as well, there's a certain temptation, is there not, to misuse those devices when we come together for Bible study and worship? Now, they can be used, and many do, as use them as their Bibles. I can't. I'm old school. I'm old fashioned. But for those who use them as their Bible, I have no problem with that. And also, there's helpful Bible study tools. I've been in Bible classes and someone looked up real quick, kind of used their phone as a concordance or maybe to get the Greek or Hebrew word, and that was helpful. But here's the thing. There's also the temptation of using them while we have them out to check our email. Right, to send text messages, maybe to play games or let our children play games on them. Check our Facebook page, maybe something on Pinterest that we want to pin or someone pinned. Check the score of some game, right? And yes, adults and children have been guilty of such during worship. I've seen it. Other brethren have seen it. So entertainment even affects our worship. And we need to be very aware and conscientious of such, please. Thirdly, we need to consider the effects of entertainment on our influence. It affects our influence, entertainment does, on our family. I have Colossians 1:10 there, but instead of there, if you'll go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, as I think, you think about the family, you think about, one of the things we need to think about is the spiritual leader, and the head of that family. And how is he leading the family? In our lesson tonight, especially in the realm of entertainment. What example is he setting? How is he leading his wife? How is he leading his children? What is he watching himself? What is he allowing his family to watch and to take in? You see, in Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. And so what example are we setting for our spouse in the area of entertainment? What example are we setting for our children in the realm of entertainment? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. Well, that includes entertainment, does it not? The way we're training them, what we're teaching them, right? And what do they see us watching? And how much time do they see us waste on such things? And how much time do we allow them to waste on such things, entertainment? And what habits will they form as a result and later take with them into their future homes? We read in Ezekiel chapter 16. In verse 44, indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you, like mother, like daughter, Or we might add, like Father, like Son. Do you know what we need today in our homes? We need the same courage and conviction of Joshua of old. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, in application to our lesson, we might express it this way. Choose for yourselves this day your entertainment. Choose for yourselves your entertainment. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, let us follow in the steps of Joshua, no matter what everyone else is deciding to watch and view and do. It doesn't change what we've decided to do in our homes with our families. We will set no worthless or wicked thing before our eyes or the eyes of our children or our spouse. Rather, we will serve the Lord righteously and faithfully. And while we're on this point about influence and how important that is in our own homes, what about others who come into our home? Whether that's friends of our children from school, whether that's neighborhood kids who come into our home, whether that's other families and adults, whether that's from the church, the congregation, or whoever it may be, our neighbors. How are we influencing them in the realm of entertainment? What do they see and see us allowing our children to watch and do, and what do they see in us? As we're to be what? A salt into the earth, a light into the world. Let them see your good works that they may glorify your Father in heaven. As we shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse or corrupt generation. And so we must be mindful of our influence, of course, not upon our family, but upon everyone else who's observing us. And what we're doing, what we're seeing, what we're watching. Now, I understand, brethren and friends, that all these forms of entertainment and communication can be used for good. Certainly, with them, we can take the gospel to places that it has not gone before. We can stay connected to one another. That at any time we can say something uplifting to our brethren, that we're praying for them, that we're thinking about them. I mean, I've certainly benefited from the technology, as many have, being able to do a Skype Bible study from Texas with someone up in upper state New York. Filling in for John Gentry, as others did, and perhaps Steve did at that time as well, when he came back to the States, but he was in Moldova with his family at that time in his life. And some classes and lessons needed to be taught. And how neat was that, again, from Baytown, Texas, all the way to Europe, Moldova, being able to teach a class. It's pretty neat. And so great things can be done with the technology that we're blessed with. But at the same time, you see how creative the devil is in taking something useful for good and turning into a channel of slavery and evil. And finally, please be careful to keep in mind the following three scriptures. Whenever and whatever you watch TV or a movie, browse the internet, text, get on Facebook, and so on. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, you know this passage, chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The various forms of entertainment today are a clear and present threat to ourselves and to our families. Don't be deceived into thinking it doesn't affect me or it doesn't affect my family. Don't deceive yourself, because entertainment has a tremendous effect on our time, on our mind, and on our influence. If you will, take out your hymn book, the Song of Invitation, please. Thank you for your kind attention once again this evening to our study. God's Word and upon these matters, and I hope you found them helpful. If I stepped on your toes, just understand I jumped up and crushed my own. Okay? We all have to make application. We all have to make application, especially the teacher, the preacher, right? And so let's look to our own lives and to others. Let's first begin with me and my family, myself. And if we need to make changes in the area of entertainment, let's do it in order to be more faithful servants of God, more godly, more holy as our Father in heaven would have us to be. Let's think about how we're using our time in this realm and what things we could better fill that time with that we touched on tonight. And how certainly it does have an effect on our mind. And think about passages like Philippians 4:8. It's a good passage to have up close to the TV and the computer or something similar. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Psalm 101 verse 3. And how it does affect our influence, of course on our families, but upon others as well. Think about that final passage we had in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Where we're reminded that nothing is hidden from God. We're not going to be able to hide anything from God. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. There's an all-knowing being. Oh, He's an all-loving God. He's a just God. And we need to consider together the goodness and the severity of God, Romans 11:22. And there's going to come a time where there's going to be the day of judgment. And we're going to have to give an account to our God. Right? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may give an account for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Are you ready to give an account before God? He knows us inside and out. He knows exactly what we watch and what we listen to. He knows those things. We may hide it from others. We don't hide it from God. Everything is just naked before Him. Nothing's hidden in His sight. You need to think about the one to whom you will give an account, the Almighty God, the one that holds your breath in His hand. Don't fear man. He can kill you. We need to fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We need to give him fear and reverence. And when you're serving God, it's not a cringing fear and a terrifying fear. It's a reverence and godly fear, and we want to please him. But boy, if we're not serving him right now and we're living in rebellion to his will, then yes, we should be fearful. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And so if you're not a child of God, we would invite you to become one tonight by obeying the gospel of Christ. That you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 3:16. That you would repent of your sins and turn away from them and turn to God and do His will. Acts 2:38. Acts 17 verse 30. Verse 31 reminds us again there's a day of judgment. That's why we better repent. And that you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, Romans 10:9 and 10, and be buried with Him in baptism. Have thy sins washed away. We don't have holy water back here, but there was some precious blood, the blood of the Son of God that was shed on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And as we sometimes sing, there is power in the blood, and His blood will cleanse you of every sin and wickedness you've ever committed. And you'll be raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Would you take those steps of obedience tonight? Surrender your will to the Lord's will. Become a child of God. Have the hope and promise of heaven. If you are a child of God, but there's sin in your life, whatever it may be, turn away from it. Turn back to God. If you have any spiritual need that we can assist you with at this time, would you please make that known as together we stand and we sing.
I have decided.